Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
This is the Bad Attitude Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Celentano, and on today's episode, we'll sit down with artist and fellow VCU student, Victor Vermenko. We will discuss Victor's upbringing, personal projects, his background in 3D modeling, how AI is influencing technology, and how he balances it all between his passion and his career. Episode 5, Flow State. Sometimes people say, you're in the zone. You feel like you can't miss. But it's a little more subjective when it comes to working on something artistic. But you know when it's happening to you. Hours fly by, everything is clicking, all that wasted time and torture is finally paying off. You know, each week when we sit down and cover an artist, it's a bit of an empty canvas. We don't know what we're going to get. Me as the host, you as the audience, and Victor as our guest.
So welcome back to the Bad Attitude Podcast. So what's your name and what do you like to do?
My name is Victor Vermenko, and I do graphic design and 3D art and sound stuff and pretty much anything I can get my hands on.
So did any of that come from your upbringing or where did you grow up?
So I actually grew up in Homer, Alaska, but mostly what happens with living in Alaska is there's nothing to do. So you ended up turning to like the internet to do pretty much everything. So a lot of my time was spent watching YouTube and also just playing around with different softwares and kind of making art in strange ways, I guess.
Yeah, it's got its benefits of being isolated out there. I guess everyone's isolated enough as it is with the social media and everything, so you kind of got a head start there. So what was one of the first things you remember creating when you were like, yeah, this is good, and I think I might have something here with this?
The moment that kind of put me on the track to be where I am right now with art was when I first started picking up 3D modeling and 3D artwork. So during COVID, me and a bunch of my friends, we had like a Minecraft world together. That was our whole thing. We sunk like hundreds of hours into that. What we ended up doing was I managed to get a world download of the Minecraft world, and I was able to export it into my different 3D softwares. And I was able to like light all the builds differently and just make everything look pretty and stuff. I initially came into VCU wanting to do graphic design, but I realized that I was doing graphic design in kind of a like strange way compared to a lot of other people. I would use 3D softwares a lot for my designs, I guess. And I just did not see a lot of people doing that.
We got into Victor's creative process a little bit, but analyzing it, breaking it down, understanding it, good luck. Whether you're bouncing around between Adobe products for different effects or layers, or combining hand-drawn aspects, it changes whether you're working alone or collaborating, or who you're collaborating with and when. It's a little exhausting to sum it all up, but if it wasn't confusing, then it probably wouldn't be worth trying to understand in the first place.
At this point, you know, you've got a few different things that you're into, I'm hearing so far. Do you have a form where this is my natural medium for art? And then maybe there's others where you go, I really don't feel like this is quite me. I need to get into a specific place in order to do this.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of time when I'm making art lately, because I've just kind of been branching out into a bunch of different things. Like I'm a graphic designer for the Student Media Center. I do stuff at the ICA. But I find that a lot of the art I make and the way I go about making it is really dependent on like the people around me, or if there like is a presence of people around me. But I find that when I'm just like by myself, I don't even think about any of that, and I just kind of get into like a flow state. A lot of my art doesn't just rely on like one software, one medium. It's like really like cross-disciplinary, I guess. So like I bounce between a bunch of like Adobe products and then go to Blender, and then after Blender I go to like DaVinci, and then after that.
What does that mean when you go to DaVinci?
So DaVinci Resolve is like a video editing software, and I use it a lot for color grading. But even before everything, like sometimes I even make my own like textures. So in 3D artwork, the things you see are all the textures, all the materials are either driven by like images or like math, essentially. And so some of the images I end up making myself. So I'll like draw out on crayons on like a sheet of paper and then bring that into the whole process and then have that be a part of it too. But I think just bouncing between all the different softwares has become like one central workflow that I just feel super comfortable with.
Yeah, you just kind of intuitively know what's next. You come back around, fill in the gap here, and then you know at some point, oh yeah, there's going to be in the back of my head, I'm going to have to pop back over to this one. Or do you think that AI is going to play a major role? I mean, we know it is, but as far as your work, how do you see AI? Do you see it coexisting positively, or are you concerned? What's your take on that?
It's a mix of the two. So with 3D artwork, it just kind of depends on what you use it for. For people, well, where I'm at right now is I currently make artwork just as stills. So I'll render out a scene and it'll just almost be like a picture, right? If AI were to do that sort of task, they would go in and generate like a model that looks good from an angle, or they would generate like textures that look good from an angle. But like from any other angles, they wouldn't work well visually and also just like functionally. I think one big thing in the gaming industry, especially, and as well with like movies and like TV shows, when 3D things are animated, they have to have things called like, well, it's called like having good topology. And that's where different faces and basically the geometry of the shapes have to be structured in a way that's like correct. Right now, like AI can't do that at all. Like, so if an AI generated model were to go in and try and deform and bend and act out a scene, like it would just look like crap. So that's like a part that AI hasn't gotten to yet. But I say yet because I feel like at some point.
Yeah, face generation and a lot of different things like that and deep fakes. And it's strange to think about what could happen. Mm-hmm. But do you feel that if you have a higher understanding of how AI works and then maybe you can, is it a necessary evil at some point where you're almost going to be doing so much legwork to try to just catch up to the baseline of where AI is on certain, you know, certain programs and stuff like that where you have to use it? Or do you think you would be able to just avoid it and continue sort of going the old school route? Maybe talking in like 5-10 years or something like that.
That kind of question, it's similar to almost like the advent of like photography, for example. Like when like cameras were coming out, painters were like getting pissed because they're saying like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to want to buy my portraits. Nobody's going to have a portrait painted of them anymore. They could just have a camera take it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, film to digital and, exactly. And all that kind of stuff.
But like we still have painters today. We still have people who want their portraits drawn or painted or all that, right? And I think what it comes down to is the presence of like the maker's hand. You know what I mean? Even in AI, that can just feel like soulless. Like you don't see like the touch of like a human.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of generic, like it almost seems like that there's already so much generic stuff out there that at a certain point, how is it going to get better with AI? There's a lot of shortcuts and just seems way too easy, really. And like you said, that removes a lot of the individualism, right? So the imperfection, I think, is something that would be difficult for AI to create, and that's kind of where those happy accidents turn actual art sometimes. So, yeah, it's going to be strange to see how that works out. Do you have something that you find yourself doing that you love outside of art that maybe, like, maybe this is something I could have done for a job and I would have been okay with that?
What do I like to do? I'm kind of, sometimes I love doing outdoor work. Before I decided on VCU, I actually got into UVA and Virginia Tech for their architecture programs. I just felt more free doing like art in like a less like filtered sort of process.
Yeah, thanks for coming in and talking with us today, Victor. I appreciate you, and yeah, thanks for your time. Anything else you want to let us know about before you head out?
Go follow Romanko Designs on Instagram. Roman KO Designs. That's about it. Thanks for having me.
Never underestimate, as Victor says, the presence of the maker's hand. Thanks for tuning in to the Bad Attitude Podcast with our guest, Victor Romanko. Created by me, your host, Danny Celentano, our editor, Brett Coleman, and our producer, Abby DeCandia. And it's a segment of the Revoice Network. Please give us a review and download the show. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to check out more podcasts on the Revoice Network, Podline and Common Talk. Our next episode, episode 6, is also available, where we continue our conversation with artist, graphic designer, and animator, Victor Romanko. You can listen to us and more only on the Revoice Network.